give our worship to God as a congregation. So appreciate your desire to be with us today very, very much. There is an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along. We're going to talk about the Old Testament story of Caleb and the Israelites going into the promised land. Very familiar story to so many of us. Last week's lesson, we looked at where God had promised the Israelites he would take them out of Egyptian bondage, and I will bring you out, the theme. So now we're going to take you to the end of that story first, and that's what the scripture reading was. I'm going to read that again for you and kind of put some other thoughts into it as I read. You're probably wondering when Don was reading, what story was that? I don't remember Caleb and an inheritance, so let's go back to Joshua chapter 14, beginning at verse 6. So again, I'm getting this text gives you the end of the story, and then I'm going to go back and kind of bring you up to date. So they're just crossed the Jordan River into the promised land, and the land's about to be divided among the tribes. So the children of Judah, the verse says, came to Joshua in Gilgal. Caleb said to him, he says, you know, kind of reminds us back to Moses, or to Joshua, you know there's something that happened. I want to remind you of these words. He says, you know the word of the Lord, or the word which the Lord said to Moses. You remember that, Joshua? Moses, that man of God, what he said concerning you and me back in Kadesh Barnea. You remember that? Verse 7. Says, I was 40 years old back then. When Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. Now, remember that? And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. I brought back word to Moses. Says, nevertheless, at all, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. In other words, they became sad. But I wholly followed the Lord my God, Caleb said to Joshua. Reminds, he says, now Joshua, remember? In verse 9, Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden, in other words, what you saw in that land, remember that? Shall be yours for an inheritance, and your children's forever, because you wholly followed the Lord. And now, behold, so Caleb's still reminding Joshua, so now, Joshua, behold, the Lord's kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. So he says, Joshua, remember what Moses said 45 years ago? Now we're in this land, and there's an inheritance that I want. So he says in verse 11, Caleb says, yet I'm as strong this day as on that day that Moses sent me, and just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Well, I'm a lot older now, but I can still do it. So verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain, which of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim was there, those were the giants, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be the Lord will be with me, Caleb says to Joshua, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. So, verse 13, Joshua blessed him, gave Hebron to Caleb as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Don, you already noticed I didn't give you the name of Joshua's dad in the text. I just skipped right over that. Give Don a reading, and it has a genealogy. then let's go back just for a moment. Familiar with what leads up to this ending. Israel comes to the border of Canaan's land, the promised land. And this story is found back in the book of Numbers, chapters 13 and 14. I've listed that in your notes. So let's go back and talk about how did Caleb get to this situation, 85 years old, and says, give me the inheritance. Here's what led up to that. In Numbers 13, verse 2, the Israelites were told to just go search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. God said, I'm going to give this land to you. Go look at it. In verse 25 of Numbers chapter 13, we're going back. They returned from searching the land after 40 days. Verse 27, Numbers 13. They said, oh, it flows with milk and honey. And here's the fruit thereof. They brought back samples. Yeah. They had in this situation, a majority report and a minority report. The minority report is summed up in three words. Grapes, giants, and grasshoppers. The minority report, meaning Joshua and Caleb, is summed up in one word. God. Some only saw giants and grapes, but we're like grasshoppers. Joshua and Caleb said, we see God. The mission of the spies, you know, and Joshua even said in verse 30 of Numbers chapter 13, let's go up at once. Let's possess it, for we're able to overcome it. Yeah, we can do it. Let's go, guys. And the mission, remember, the mission of the spies was just spy out the land. That's all you're supposed to do. In verse 18, it said, see the land for what it is. That was your goal. Well, the possession of land had already been decided by God. He said, Moses said, just go explore it. Look at it. Well, the children of Israel had to decide which report they're going to accept. So you know what the children of Israel decided to do? They wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. Right there in Numbers chapter 14, verse 10. That was the response of the others. Let's stone these two that said, let's go in and take the land. But Moses intervened. And so they didn't stone Joshua and Caleb. But the time now comes for the people to claim their share of the inheritance. So 45 years that were they, you know, they had to wander 40 years, one year for every day they were in the land. So they did that, and everyone over 20 years of age died, except for Joshua and Caleb. And then Moses dies, and Joshua and Caleb, they lead the children into the promised land. And so now here they are. Now give me the inheritance. The land is about to be divided. Caleb is our topic today. What did Caleb ask for? God, give me this mountain. This one. The one that I saw when I went in and spied out the land. That's what I want. 85. But he also said, you know, the Lord will be with me, and I will be able to drive them out. So put four things about Caleb that we see in his life that we want in ours. Four things about Caleb. Number one, he had an excellent work ethic and faith. Especially faith. Caleb's faith. After he came back from spying out the land, he said, let's go. God said he'd give it to us. Let's go. And now in verse 12 of our text, he's saying, oh, the Lord's still with me. I'm as strong as ever. I'll be able to drive them out. You know, he saw the same thing the other spies did. Oh, there's giants. There's walled cities. The kid said, oh, but we have God on our side. He didn't look for an easy place, just like you and I should. He didn't ask for someone else to conquer it for him. He looked past the obstacles. You know, the giants, the walled cities. Same thing with you and me in our Christian living. Jesus said in Luke 13, to strive. Ah, we're going to put some effort in this. In Christianity, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter in and not be able. They didn't strive. You know, Jesus didn't choose an easy way. Chose the way of the cross. Apostle Paul didn't choose an easy way. And when he describes his Christianity or his Christian living in 2 Corinthians 11, beginning of verse 23, he said, you know, I've been beaten, shipwrecked, I've had perils of all kinds. Asher in, just like Caleb. Proverbs 14, verse 23, in all labor there's profit. In all labor there's profit. So when you think about in this lesson, and Caleb receiving the inheritance, Caleb, what is there about Caleb that got him to that situation? Oh, his faith, number one. Second, he refused to be discouraged. Refused to be discouraged. I remember when Caleb's retelling this story to Joshua, remember 40 years ago? He says, you know, the broom that went with me made the heart of the people melt. Oh, yeah. Oh, the one that went with me. See, rather than in life, there's optimists and pessimists. Same thing in this story. Caleb is the optimist. He lifts his voice against the defeated attitude of the other spies that went with him. Caleb made the same trip they did. He saw the same things, but Caleb sees God where they saw the obstacles, the walled city of the giants. The others couldn't see God because of the obstacles. The ten probably had a healthy faith when the journey began, like many of us. I'm all in. Count me. I'm there for you. I'm on God's side. But they caught that, what we sometimes call a grasshopper complex. They saw the obstacles being bigger than they are and bigger than God. No, it's just too much. I'm not going any further with this Christianity we might say today. See the obstacles. They focused on, we can't. We can't. They forgot God's power. They forgot God's blessing. They forgot God's deliverance from evil. They forgot God's providing for them all the way through the wilderness wandering. They forgot God giving them a new leader. They forgot God giving them the promised land. They forgot. And then they... No, we're not going to do it. Pessimists see difficulty with every opportunity. Familiar with this poem, and I'll just read part of it. That somebody said that it couldn't be done. Remember that one? Somebody said that it couldn't be done. But he, with a chuckle, replied that maybe it couldn't, but he would be one who wouldn't say so until he tried. So he buckled right in with a trace of a grin on his face, and if he worried, he hid it. So he started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. I think more people ascribe to Murphy's Law. You know what that one is. Than to a life of faith. Murphy always says nothing is as easy as it looks. Murphy says everything takes longer than what you expect. Murphy says, you know, if anything can go wrong, it will. Then he adds to it, add at the worst possible moment. Sometimes that's the way people live their Christianity. Wait a minute, Joshua. He refused to be discouraged by the obstacles. Joshua says, I'm pressing on. Give me this mountain. Give me that mountain. Caleb. Joshua might have said, Caleb, don't forget the giant. Don't forget the walled city. So, hey, I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to be discouraged. So number three, he was singular in purpose. First things first. So he said, you know, again, those brethren that went up with me, they made the heart of the people melt. But I followed the Lord. Caleb, what's your principle of life? I'm following the Lord. Oh, but the majority, 10 others, are not going to follow the Lord. Hey, I'm following the Lord. There's only one more with you, and that's Joshua and Moses. I'm following the Lord. But there's so many that are not. Hey, I'm following the Lord. What's your attitude about Christianity? You start to see so many kind of bailing out. You say, well, I'm going to bail out too then. Now, Caleb is the example in our lesson today. I'm wholly following the Lord. No matter what the others say, no matter what the others do, count me in. Yeah. There's some other examples of that in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 16. You know the house of Stephanus? How that they have addicted themselves or devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints? Oh, just like Caleb, I'm wholly following the Lord. I'm devoted. I'm hanging in there. I'm going to minister. In 2 Corinthians 8, the churches of Macedonia, first they gave them all their own selves to the Lord. And Paul said, and to us by the will of God. What they did, they put their heart into it. Hey, Caleb, I'm wholly following the Lord. But Caleb, there's 10 people against you. I'm following the Lord. Single discipline. Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 13, I haven't apprehended yet, but this one thing I do. Not there yet, but you know what? There's one thing. I'm forgetting the things that are behind, and I'm reaching forth to the things that are ahead, and I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize. Paul, there's some people bailing out on you like Demas. He's forsaking it, but hey, I'm in there. I'm in. See, I've used this phrase before. I've said, obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. If you see church attendance as an obstacle, you've taken your eyes off the goal. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, set your affections on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. You take your eyes off those things that are above and you start looking down, you're going to see everything that contributes to that success as an obstacle. Oh, I have to attend Bible class. Oh, no, I don't want to do it. Maybe you took your eyes off the goal. Set your affections on things above. Your affections? Yeah. You see, singleness of purpose. You take your eyes off that, you're going to see the obstacles. I mean, I have to pray. I have to involve myself in ministry. I have to mature in Christ. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. Oh, you took your eyes off the goal. You think about in life, someone that's going to college. 4 years, I have to attend class every week. 2 years, 4 years, whatever the degree you're looking at. If you start just looking at those obstacles, wait a minute, your goal is that degree. If you take your eyes off the goal, you're going to say, I don't want to attend class. A class? Oh, no, I want to do something else that day or that weekend. Oh, no, I have an obligation to classwork. Oh, no, but wait a minute, I'm going to do that because the goal I have is to get that degree. You take your eyes off the goal and you're going to see nothing but obstacles. And you'll stop. Caleb said, I don't care what the 10 say. I'm wholly following the Lord. And that brings us to the last point about Caleb. He refused to be bitter about the past. The 10 had that grasshopperitis. The people are bigger than I am. The cities are walled. Oh, I can't press on. But Caleb said, oh, yes, we can. Caleb had to delay his victory 45 years. Oh. God already said, Moses and Joshua, and Caleb, you're in this too, Caleb. You are going to wander 20 years. Oh, no, well, I'll just quit now. That's what the people wanted to do. They wanted to select a new leader and go back to Egypt. Caleb said, no. I'm going to wholly follow the Lord. I'm not going to be bitter. Even though it's 45 years later, I'm going to be bitter about the past. But now I'm going to receive the inheritance. He enters the promised land, 85 years old, and now he still has a battle in front of him. Yeah, give me this mountain. Joshua probably said, but Caleb, you know, there's still the Anakims are still there, those big giants. Yeah, I know, and I'm 85 years old. You could take a case for Caleb. Don't do it, Caleb. Don't do it. Could have given up. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, I put that in your, the last thing in your notes, takes us back to this story of the wilderness wanderings. Moses is in this situation. He hasn't died yet, but they're just about ready to enter the promised land. So Moses, the message to them, from God to Moses to the people, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now don't remember, remember this part of the journey, that part of the journey. I want you to remember, God led you all the way. look at the obstacle. You look at the goal. God led you all the way. These 40 years in the wilderness, here it is, to humble you, to prove you, to know what was in your heart. 40 years, and God found out which ones were the troopers. God found out which ones were going to be steadfast. God found out which ones were going to last. God found out which ones were looking at the goal and stayed all the way. So God, so Moses now said, do you know what these 40 years were about? He says, to humble you, to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep my commandments or not. You know the troubles we have, the trials of life, the obstacles in Christianity, is to prove us, and God is testing us, to see whether we will keep his commandments or not. And some people have failed to keep the commandments. And God sees it. God knows. Caleb sets himself up as an example. But I have wholly followed the Lord his last day. I hope we can all say that. No matter what the others do, no matter what the 10 spies have said, no matter what the hardship, we wholly follow the Lord like the Lord. The inheritance. Now give me this mountain. Joshua said, it's yours. Go do it, young man. 85 years old. Go do it. Take it, Caleb. Take it. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. You're here this morning, not a member of the New Testament church. You're not a Christian. You have not been baptized for remission of sin. That's the invitation we extend. If that's what your desire is, if that's your resolve, you want to do that this morning while we're here to rejoice with you in that decision, you can wish it. If you want to, while we're here, to let brethren know a request that you might have, just simply come and have a seat beside me, and I'll just ask you what that request is, and we can certainly honor it in prayer. So let's stand together and sing the song of death and so forth.